If you love me, you'll be here Thursday. I said, if you love me, you'll be here Thursday. If you're not here, I'll know you don't love me. And I'll take my toys and go play in another sandbox somewhere. I'm just kidding. No, but I mean it. If you love me, you'll be here Thursday. I want you to be here. I want to hang out with you. I'm going to be 64 on Thursday. Dang. But for those of you who think 64 is the normal 64, I did a new PR about 3 weeks ago on a back squat. This is for you, Mr. Howie Carlson. How about giving it up for our deputy sheriff here today? Who wishes he could back squat as much as me, but he can't. But I did a new one. Howie, just for you, 405 pounds. Come on, somebody. How come you don't, like, some of you are like, I love somebody, they put on Facebook, isn't that harmful to you? I said, nobody got hurt, just the younger guys looking on. They're the only ones that got hurt. Hey, lots of Bible study, lots of different groups. Monday night, Art Nicometto, stand up. 6:30 to 7:30 in the Outback. Come on, give Art a big God bless you today. He's going to be starting not this Monday night, but a week. They'll hear on Monday night. They're just finishing up a book that he just went a little sideways when I gave it to him. I said, this is a little different. It's by a monk whose name is Brother Lawrence, who wrote a book, just a little book called Practicing the Presence of God. I've got them on my bookshelf here at the church at home. Just the title entices me. And we learned something. One of the men that was there, when he came, he said, one of the first things he said, what can you learn from a monk who lives in solitary? And then he said, it came to my realization that these books that he wrote have been printed and distributed all over the world multiple times. So God works something in every situation. We learned in that book that not all the things that he communicated were, some of them came out of the depths and the darkness of his heart at a certain time. But when we learn to practice the presence of God in those moments, in our darkness, in our pain, God helps us up out of that. But so, finishing that tomorrow night, 6:30 to 7:30, and then he starts a week from tomorrow night, next Monday night, on just maybe a book from, she's just a little-known author by the name of Joyce Myers, The Battlefield of the Mind. It's one of the greatest books ever written. So that's going to start next Monday. It meets right here in the Outback, 6:30 to 7:30 on Mondays. Mondays also, ladies, you got a group at the Generation Center from starts at 6 o'clock, led by our own Kathy Cervone. They have soup every week over there. And then Tuesday mornings in the Outback here, Phil Gardner, 7 a.m. to 8, one of the best Bible studies for men, period. What a blessing that is. And all of our Bible studies have just been growing on a regular basis. And Tuesday night, St. Anthony's Activity Night, many things going on there. Wednesday nights in the Outback again, the men meet 7 o'clock. They actually start showing up at 6 because they have pizza and wings every night. Every Wednesday night. I don't know how they work that out. But anyways, all you men, you're welcome to that. Thursday night here, if you're not here on this Thursday night for my birthday, I'll take it that you don't love me too. Did I say that already once? And then Fridays, you'll see some things, young adults, youth, different things all the time. And then Amy, Miss Amy, stand up so everybody knows who you are. She's going online. See her if you want to be a part of that. It's just a great concept to do that Bible study on that Zoom app. You can see one another, or you don't have to see one another. You can just connect on there. Somebody said, is it just for women? And some of the men people just love Amy. Stand up again so everybody can see you. Now, Steve, stand up with your wife. Come on, give these beautiful people a big God bless you. People just love them. So, guys, you can log on, too. Nobody will know yourself, who you are. You know, just change your name. Nobody will know the difference. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. Use your word to change our lives. I pray today in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Look in your Bible with me. I'm going to just share a couple scriptures. Ecclesiastes 4:9. I want you to get this in your heart. This has been our key verse for this series, Better Together. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three stands is not quickly broken. Last week, I shared from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul teaches that Corinthian church about the body. He says, and he ends up or begins that whole lesson in verse 14. He said, even so, the body is not made up of one part, but it's many parts. He refers to the body of Christ as who we are, the people, as he uses the metaphor as a body, the parts of a body. And I'm just going to dispel a misconception today. And I know some, it may challenge you. We've learned it. We've sang about it. And we've leaned on it in times of hurt and disappointment. And I've had people say, God is all I need. I don't need anybody else. Jesus is all I need. We sing a great old hymn. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all that I need. But that's not true. Because we are called to be with others. We need one another. If it was any other way, God wouldn't have started off in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18 saying that it's not good for man to be alone. And that's not just in a marital sense. That is the nature of God that he has put in every one of us. It is not good for you to go through life alone. He says it again in Psalm 133, one of the greatest verses, chapters in the Bible. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Then he ends it up, he says, for there God commands a blessing. There is a blessing. And God wants us to do life together. He's called us to be better together. And as I read last week about the body, I want to read to you this week. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, he talks about the body again. He says, for the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, don't think of yourself more highly than you are, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each one of you. And I thought of that, why he would start this out with that. Do you know that sometimes when we get so high on ourselves, we think that nobody can measure up to who we think they should be. It will seclude us and it will separate us from the very people that God would want in our lives. So he starts and he says, for just as each of you has one body with many members, these members do not have all the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body and each member belongs to the others. Look around you. We belong to one another. The decisions in the life that you live isn't just about you. It's about everyone around you. He goes on, he says, we're different. We have different gifts according to the grace that is given. He said, if your gift is prophesying, prophesy. Let me just veer off this for a minute. These gifts that he's talking about are not just gifts used behind the pulpit. For some of you, God has called you to declare the word of the Lord. And you can do it in your kitchen, in your living room, in your bedroom. You don't have to wait until you're in public. Declare God's word. If God's given you that gift, declare it. And if it's serving, serve. If it's teaching, teach. If it's to encourage, encourage. If it's giving, you better give. If it's to lead, lead. If it's to show mercy, do it with a cheerful heart. And as we read across that, each one of you in your mind, you were thinking about somebody that has a particular gift. Maybe it's you. Maybe you've been called to one of these. But then he brings it around in verse 9. He says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Be devoted. Honor one another above yourselves. We lift up others around us. We don't make ourselves bigger than everyone else. We honor others around ourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in tribulation, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Amen, Pastor. I got that down. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and don't curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Don't be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Don't be conceited. Don't repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. And if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with everyone around you. Don't take revenge. Man, I feel a draw on that right now. When somebody hurts you, does you wrong, deliberately, it is not your job nor mine to take revenge. And now listen to me, I'm standing here, I'm telling you, I've wanted to do that at certain times. I've had people treat me bad. I told my pastor one time, years ago, I got upset at this guy. I said, Pastor Ron, I want to drive my tractor up and just drive it over his car. He said, no, Marty, don't do that. All right. As far as it depends on you, be at peace with everyone. Don't take revenge, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. And how many of you know God's repayment is never the way you think? So when you think that somebody hurts you or does you wrong, God's going to get them. Really? Like he's got you for the messes that you've made. You know how God gets you back? His Holy Spirit hovers over you until you bow your knee and give your life to him. And you begin to live for Jesus instead of living for the devil anymore. That's how he gets you back. Oh, he goes on to say, if your enemy is hungry, feed that guy. If he is thirsty, give him a Starbucks. In doing this, you heap coals, burning coals, on his head. And that's not a negative. That was a positive in that time because they used that metaphor to take hot coals to their neighbors to bless them to start a fire so that they could eat. God is not in the business of destroying or harming or tearing other people down. He is in the business of loving people. He is in the business of restoring brokenness and bringing healing and life to all those whom he came and died for on the cross and shed his blood for. He didn't do it for a few people. He did it for whosoever will. Let them come unto him. Whosoever will. He said, don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Come on, give God a praise on that. And here Paul conveys to each and every one of us that we're better together. And yet because of hurts in our lives that have happened to us by people that God maybe brought into your life, we have this hindrance in our lives. Instead of them being a blessing to us, they harmed us in one way or another, and it has stopped us in our track. Let me tell you something. Again, I have not arrived on this getting past and getting over everything in my life, but I'm working on it. I desire it because I know God desires it in me. And I know that God is at work in my life. I said this in the first service. I was at a pastor's meeting this week, and a man that was speaking there had hurt some of the other pastors that were there. And the man got done speaking, and one of the pastors that was sitting up got right up in front of the whole crowd and stood up, and he said, I want you to know that I'm sorry that I've held things against you. and I ask you to forgive. He didn't even do anything to him. And he says, I ask you to forgive me. I'm going to tell you what. There wasn't a dry eye in that place. And this is what he said at the end of it. He said, because I know we're better together. I'm saying, yes, Jesus. You're even using my messages where I didn't preach them. And this is the beginning, because you have to move forward in this. You have to let go of the past hurts. Because if you don't, they define your life. Hear this now. Instead of you enjoying every moment of your life, you find yourself darkened over the spirit, the experiences in your life that you've never brought to the cross and you've never dealt with. And if your life is going to be full of what God has intended it to be full of, you have to make room for it. Because if your heart is filled with pain and hurt, how can you be open to anything new? So listen, I'm just going to close in these five thoughts. Make the decision. Let it go. And I know things don't just disappear on their own, and that might sound easy. But if you don't make the commitment and the conscious choice to say, I'm letting this thing go, you could end up self-sabotaging your life and stay living in the hurt of your past. And we have to stop reliving the past pain, going over it and over it and over it. And every time you think about it in your mind, you go over it and over it. It's like old movies just playing over and over, and you live and you find yourself stuck in that place in time. I love what C.S. Lewis said. He said, getting over a painful experience is much like crossing monkey bars. You got to let go at some point to be able to move forward. Come on, you got to let go. Isaiah 43:18 says, forget what happened before. And don't take and do not think about the past. Let it go. Move past it. You got to get it out of your system. I was standing here. I don't know where this thought came to me. Years and years ago, I've never seen this in particular, but in old Pentecostal, way back, they used to call them brush arbor meetings, where they'd have this meeting off in the backwoods. They'd have people there. When they'd be praying for people, they'd have buckets. It looked like our offering buckets. And when they talked about getting things out of you, they'd put it right up to somebody's mouth, and they'd encourage them to cough in it and spit the stuff out. Literally, this would happen. I don't even want to ask if anybody was ever in one of those meetings or not, by the way you're looking at me. It's true. And I was thinking about that. Sometimes you got to get it out of your system. You got to be able to talk about it to somebody. You got to be able to let that thing go out of your system. James chapter 5, confess your faults. Get that thing out. Confess it to one another. Tell somebody about it. And if you don't have anybody, if you don't trust anybody, go to a counselor. Get somebody that'll help you. And if you don't know who to go to, come see me. I'll help you. I'm not a counselor. I'm a pastor, but I'll help you, and I'll help you move in that way. But you got to get it out of your system, because if you allow that pain to stay in you, it will define who you are to become. You better listen to me now. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you're a chosen people. Listen to this. He said, you're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his light. You can get past all that. Let it go. Get it out of your system. And stop being the victim and blaming everybody else. Now, you all know my past. I've told it dozens and dozens of times. But there comes a place. I could live the victim. I could stay in that place. Oh, my dad did this to me, and he did that to me, and I grew up with this, and I didn't have this, and I didn't have that. And I could just go over and over on that. But what good is it going to do me? And what good is it going to do my kids or my grandkids? And I looked up, and I thought about that this morning as I looked up, and I saw three generations of the McDonald's up here singing, worshiping, playing drums, and honoring God, because I made a decision. I am not a victim. I am a victor. And your feelings matter, but they're just one part of this thing that we call life. And life gets messy sometimes. And at every moment, we have to make the choice that we can feel bad Or we can just make a decision, not today. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord by choice. I'm going to take responsibility for my own happiness. I'm not going to put that power in the hands of somebody else or let someone else who's hurt me in the past have that power over my life right now. I'm going to move on. I'm going to enjoy what God has given me right now, right today. Some of you need to get free of all the old junk and the garbage in your life and let God usher you in to the plan that he has for you right now. Psalm 71:20, though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, listen to this, you will restore my life again. You will restore it again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up. And you may be that one here today that is lower than low. But let me tell you, God's plan today through the word and through this moment in your life is to lift you up out of that and set you on a course so that the blessing of God can be yours today. Enjoy the moment. Enjoy the here and now. When so much attention is placed on what was, we miss what God wants to do and release to us right here and right now. Come on, I want you to think about that just a moment. Just ponder that. What are you missing that God wants you to enjoy right now? Ryan made the mention both services. You know, God, we walked out, smelled that crisp air. I looked out, I saw this favorite plant that I had bought. It hangs on the gutter, it hangs down about 4 feet. It grows up, grows down the gutters. As soon as the cold air hits it, bam, it's dead. I looked at that this morning. I thought, cold air come. But the reality of it is, it's a new season. It's a new day. A great anointing is coming our way. We're going to be in a season of flourishing and blessing and his grace. I'm excited about today. I'm excited about tomorrow. I will not let what happened yesterday, last week, last month, last year, or 20 years ago define who I am right now. Stop telling yourself the old story over and over. God wants to create a new story in your life. He's working something brand new. And maybe you can't undo the past, but you can make a decision. From this point on, my life, I'm going to focus on now. I'm focusing on my future. I'm believing God for something great. And I'm going to start welcoming the good things, the joy, the peace, the favor of God back into my life. Ephesians 5 says, be careful how you live. Don't live unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity that comes your way. Because the days are evil. Don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is for your life. He's got something great for you. Forgive. Listen to this. Forgive others, and then forgive you as well. Some of you are living with a heavy burden over your life because you're just so jacked up by what you did. And you know what the reality of it was? We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Can I hear a better amen than that? I said, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus came into the world. He lived among us for 33 years. He went to the cross, not my will. He said, but thy will be done. He hung on that cross. He shed his blood. And from that point on, his blood covers your sin and covers my sin and the sin of those who have hurt you, talked bad about you, assaulted you, did you wrong. He still shed his blood for them. And you have to forgive you and you have to forgive them as well. I should hear more amens than that. Listen, forgiveness isn't saying, I agree with what you did. Instead, it's saying, I don't agree with what you did, but I forgive you anyways. Oh, I like that. Where is that up there? Put that, yeah. Pauly, you're amen and me. You forgot to put that up. Forgiveness isn't saying, I agree with what you did. I don't agree with it. I knew Joseph looked at his brothers. What you did, you meant it for evil. He didn't forget about it. That's a fallacy. Well, if you're going to forgive, you're going to forget. You're not going to forget. I don't forget my dad taking my brother's head and banging it into the wall. I don't forget when my dad used to beat us so much there was blood all over the place from his hands, from slapping us, from beating us up. I don't forget that he put my mother in the hospital 3 or 4 times. I don't forget that. But the sting of it is gone off of my life. What he did was wrong, but I forgive him. And that's not who I am, and it's not in my DNA anymore because I've been grafted into the vine, and the blood of Jesus is now running through my veins, and I am a new creature in Christ. Old things have been passed away, and behold, he makes all things brand new. Come on, you ought to clap for that today. And forgiveness isn't a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength, and for some, there are people that are around you right now that God, come on up, Debbie, that he's put into your life. He's brought into your life to bring laughter to you, to help you deconstruct the old by the relationship that he wants you to have with them right now. That's why these many groups are so important, and we're going to have more. We're going to have more. We're going to have more times. We're going to have more people with more opportunities for you to get involved in them because God brings people into your life to help you go through that and to see there's a much better way. I watched Pastor Ron Domina 25, 30 years ago. They had a big event for him. It was the War Memorial. And I saw one by one his kids. My kids were all little. I didn't know nothing about parenting. I don't know nothing about being a dad. My dad didn't give me lessons. He gave me lessons how not to be a dad. But I remember his kids getting up one by one. They're crying and saying how much they love him. I looked at him and I said, I want that man in my life. I want that in my life. And I'll never forget a few years ago, my boys, I think it was on my birthday or something, they got up one by one. They were telling the great things about their dad. And I remembered that day. And I thought, I just got closer to him because, see, we're better together. We need one another in our lives so much. And God puts people in your life. And they may say some things to you sometimes that you don't like. But embrace it. Because the best of your life is ahead of you. You don't have to stay wrapped up in the pain of your past. Let it go today. Come on, who am I talking to right now? Let it go today. Let it go today. Just close your eyes with me just for a minute. Whoever I'm talking to right now, I just want you to stand up on your feet. I want to pray for you right where you're at. Stand up. I'm not going to prompt you all morning. If the anointing of His Holy Spirit didn't reach out to you and pull on your heart right now, nothing will. I can't do nothing. But if you're hung up in the pain of your past, God wants to set you free from that. 5 more seconds. Thank you, Lord. Everybody's eyes are closed just for a moment. Just for one moment. I want some healthy people. I want you to get up and go lay your hand on those right now. We're going to pray with them and for them. This is your moment. This is your time. Ah, praise God. Such good things ahead for you. Make sure nobody is alone. Hallelujah. There's a couple men way over in the corner. Paulie, come right out of the... Where are you? Come right out of there. Michael, Mike, go over there. Pray over them, way over there. Thank you, Lord God. Chris B, go over there and pray with one of the men right there. Right over in the corner over there. Just begin to pray for them. Just softly, right where you're at. This is the body of Christ working together. You're lovely. You're great. Thank you, Lord, for your power. You're strengthening each and every individual here. when one hurts, we hurt. I believe you, Lord, today, that you're restoring, that you're making new. You're eradicating the pains of the past, and you're liberating us to be all that you have called and created us to be today. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, speak over them. Ladies and gentlemen, just speak, say to them, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we glorify you. We honor you. Hallelujah. Now, Father, for each and every person in this house today, I pray for healing. I pray for help and hope. Some that have been beaten by the enemy, I pray you'd lift them up today. I give you all the glory today for everything that you have done. For some, Lord, lives have been changed miraculously, and we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on today for the Lord. Can you give the Lord a big hand clap of praise? Come on, everybody, just stand with me today. If you're able to stand. Lord Jesus, we commit our lives not only to you, but to one another. We will live with that in mind. We will live with others in mind. We need each other. We are better together. I praise you for it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Some of the prayer people, come on down to the altar. If you need prayer for anything else before you go, come on down. Love on one another on the way out today. I love you.